been talking about successful living for a couple weeks, and we've been in the book of Proverbs. And I call it successful living, this series, because obviously I'm thinking that a lot of us really don't understand what successful living looks like. And a lot of times what we do is we even teach our kids through media, maybe sometimes in the school setting, that successful living is going to be when you have a great job and you're a boss or something somewhere, and you're making, you know, what is it, six digits? Is that the six digits? You're making the six digits income, and then everybody will know that you've been successful. But God seems to have a different perspective of what successful living actually is. And so one of the things that we've been noticing, I hope, is that when we look at successful living, we're recognizing that, especially in the book of Proverbs, it seems to say that you could have a little of nothing in your life and be successful. If you're able to love as God has commanded us to, if you're able to care for one another as God has commanded, then you are living successfully by God's standards in the kingdom. And so that is something that I think that these churches, all of us have to recapture. Christians are sometimes, I think we get to where we use God to get what we want to be successful the other way, when in fact, it's God wanting to use us to be successful His way, and that's to establish His will, His way here on earth now. And so when I was thinking about the song about the mercy this morning, one of the things that I wrestled with several years ago was simply, you know, about this rote way of teaching and preaching God's grace, and what does it actually mean? And if I was not a believer, would I understand that anything about God's grace? And if I did, would it be the type of understanding that would cause me to want to know Christ as my Savior? And one of the things that I noticed is that in Scripture, if I understand God's grace, He gives it to His people. He gave it to Israel. Then He gave it to Israel through the form of His Word and gave them the law. And the law, as I've said in the past, is a way to love God and love our neighbors. It's for the world's benefit. God wasn't trying to take anything from us. He's trying to give us something, life. And so Jesus comes along, then we experience Jesus in our lives, and the next thing we know, Jesus wants us to take what we've experienced and give it out to others so that they can experience that grace too. And so when I look at Scripture, and I realize that that's how we actually feel God's love for us, is actually through His people responding to what God has told them to do. And so in our passages, what we've noticed in Proverbs is this is wisdom literature, but this is actually Solomon, under the inspiration of God, teaching people how to live successfully. So we were talking about the importance a couple weeks ago of listening. We were talking about the importance a couple weeks ago of actually doing what God says. We were talking about all of that stuff. And so this week, I want to talk to you about valuing your neighbors to be successful. So success would be valuing your neighbors. And I want to read Proverbs chapter 11 to you. And it's 31 verses, but they're just short little verses and won't take us very long, because I want you to hear it. Because sometimes we read Proverbs, we look at one verse, we'll look at it and we'll say, oh, well, I'm going to try to memorize that one verse. But I'd like for you to hear it as a whole. And it says this: the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with Him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of blameless makes their paths straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promises of their power comes to nothing. The righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors, but through knowledge, the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands and pledge is safe. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly, the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Be sure of this: the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. The desire of the righteous ends only in God, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The one who is wise saves lives. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Long passage, but you saw the flow of what Solomon is saying, and some of the stuff that you saw, you couldn't understand without the other. But let me just simply start with this. I want to share this with you. To properly value our neighbors, we must not take advantage of them. You know, we're sitting in a Christian setting, and you're probably thinking, good grief, Pastor Scott, I drove all this way for you to tell us not to steal from each other or to take advantage. We all know this, but here's what I'm saying to you this morning. Successful living is actually doing this stuff. And sometimes what I find in people is, even though we know not to do this stuff, guess what we do? We do it. And so all through this passage, what you heard is this love for the wealth of the world. Well, if you go back to what Solomon is actually saying, he's saying, listen, don't use dishonest scales. Don't be taking advantage of your neighbors. Now, what I find is that most of the time, the people who love the wealth of this world, we actually justify taking advantage of our neighbors. We deceive them. So a dishonest scale is actually us going back and breaking one of the commandments. And I know Jesus said, love God, love others, and it's in a nutshell. But during the time of this writing, it's going back and breaking the commandment of lying and stealing from your neighbors. You see, when people take advantage of other people, they are doing so to get gain. And because they're doing so to get gain, they're doing it because they've placed their trust in the world's wealth instead of in Him who watches everything. And so when you're taking advantage of your neighbors, you're not valuing them. You're actually valuing yourself. So we would call that an unsuccessful way of life. You see what's happening here. We're not being successful until we learn to value our neighbors. I want to show you something else. If we're going to properly value our neighbors, we must show them respect. Now we're getting somewhere. You know what I see Christians all the time. I mean, I only have to go past Facebook. I can put that aside. I can just see it out in public. My favorite is when I see somebody disrespecting somebody with their Jesus shirt on, talking about them, maybe actually somehow deriding them. Did you hear what Solomon said? In fact, it would be like just us gossiping about our neighbors or pointing out someone's faults or maybe passing judgment on somebody else and saying, well, you know what their problem is this. And we might not even be saying it to their face sometimes. We might just be making mention of this to someone we're friends with or even someone that we're, you know, that's in our family who knows what it is. But the fact is, what happens, what Solomon is saying, don't do, he's saying don't disrespect your neighbors. Did you hear what he said about the person who derides, the person who is actually like the woman that's not treating her neighbors right because she's talking about them? Whatever it is, guys and gals, this is a principle that's all across the board. When we start talking about our neighbors, I'm telling you something, you are disrespecting your neighbors. Everybody's like, I just came here to hear about how to get Jesus to answer my prayers, right? Well, I'm actually telling you. You know something? It's unsuccessful for us to know who Jesus Christ is and to take part in gossiping about our neighbors. You know, it wasn't that long ago. I'm going to get off this, and I really struggled if I should even say it. I won't mention a name, but there was a well-known popular pastor not too long ago who was wanting to present the idea that it was okay to drink alcohol and it was no big deal. And the way he presented it, he would sit there and he would say, you've heard all of these old pastors who are overweight, those guys that are lazy, who don't do anything, and you've listened to them, and what they were doing is they were neglecting and saying, neglecting the gluttony that they were taking part in while they were judging you drinking alcohol. So his perspective was, you should just discount someone who was a pastor who'd been around for a while and who was overweight because they just didn't get it and the alcohol was no big deal. But here's what the problem was with that, and this is why Solomon would say, we don't talk about our neighbors. Because you and I, probably each one of us knows somebody this morning that just because someone's overweight, we certainly can't go and make a judgment about that because we don't know if they have a thyroid issue. We don't know what their financial ability is right now. We don't know if they have access to healthy food that would keep them from being overweight. There is so much that goes into it. So Solomon would say, listen, we don't make comparisons or judge other people or talk about them because you don't know their stories. You just don't. So the best thing to do is to hold our tongues. My stepdad used to tell me, you probably already figured it out. I have a mouth that runs too much sometimes. My stepdad told me, he said, look, Scott, you've got to learn something. Never pass up an opportunity to keep your mouth shut. It's truth. So I struggle with that, but this is what Solomon is saying, because when I just go and run off at the mouth, what's happening is I'm living unsuccessfully in light of God's good grace that he's given me. Let's look at the next thing I want you to see. If we're going to properly value our neighbors, we must share with them. Now, this is amazing, because it wasn't that long. Y'all know my daughter, she was in now the hospital, and she apparently had told them that I was a preacher, and this always happens. Once somebody finds out that I'm a preacher, I'm going to get their perspective of who God is. You better believe it, and they're checking me to make sure I believe like they do, and if I don't, then they have a problem with me. Well, this one lady was in there, she was a nurse, and one of the things she started telling me was about how God is blessing her. She was simply one of those health, wealth, and prosperity people, and she was talking about all of this stuff, and God was giving her all of this money. Listen to me, everyone. This is why I tell you, you have to read the Bible yourself. Y'all, I want you to hear this. This is the truth. When you read Scripture, you're going to find that those who are living successfully in God's kingdom are going to be those people who share what God gives them. We share. And you know why God gives us all of that stuff? It's not to demonstrate that he likes us or he's rewarding us for for us being good. I've watched people sometimes, they will say, God's blessed me. I think it's because I did this or that or whatever it is. Y'all need to listen to this, because the entire scope of Scripture says that you share what you have with your neighbors. God gives you what you have so that you can be used by Him as a manager of what He owns to give out and feed His sheep. People, hear me. This is one of the most overlooked things that I see Christians do. I can't take my wealth with me. You probably all didn't know I was a millionaire. Debbie didn't either, because we're not. But if I had wealth, I cannot take it with me. Did you hear what Solomon said? It does me no good in the day of wrath. It does me no good. What does me good in the day of wrath is whether or not God was able to trust me with what He gave me. And did I share with my neighbors, the people that I do life with, the people that He has placed me in a community with? Selfishness is unsuccessful living. And I even found last night, I was thinking, I think I can connect this to when He says, those who don't take care of their family inherit only win. This is how you take care of your family, because here's what you know about God. When you share with your neighbors, He's going to resupply you with more. And guess what? If the day comes that you struggle financially or whatever it is, guess what? If you've been enacting that principle of sharing, do you know what happens? Someone's probably going to share with you. You see what God's doing. God's giving His mercy to this world through His people. When the poor and needy, the alien, whoever it is, are in need, we take care of them. We share because we're generous if we're God's people. Let's look at the last thing I want you to see. To properly value our neighbors, we must see God's favor is the result. I think what really stands out to me when I read that whole passage, we know because we read that whole passage, that that whole passage is dealing with valuing your neighbors. And if you value your neighbors, then it's a successful life that you're living. So through that whole passage, one of the things that should have stood out to you is that cities rejoice when people are valuing their neighbors. So like when I first moved down here and I pulled into Liberty, I think that the sign was out there, Liberty, where neighbors become friends, right? So the idea was that if you live in Liberty, that somehow, because you're neighbors with people, they already have this understanding that being a neighbor means that you're going to be good friends. Well, I think we can all agree that there's a difference between saying and doing something, right? So those that are actually practicing successful living that Solomon is talking about, and they are actually sharing, they are valuing, they're not running their neighbors down, do you know what happens? The city rejoices. Isn't that amazing? God's favor actually comes to rest on that city, and God actually is blessing that city. He's blessing a people, a nation. When the nation or the people are obeying and doing what God says to do by valuing their neighbors, it's actually a good place to live. So people who are in need very long, because now they are actually getting their needs met by those who are righteous. Those who are righteous. We've got to get away from this view that just because I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just because I acknowledge that, that does not make me righteous. What makes me righteous is that because I acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God and I believe in Him, then I actually start to do and become more like Him because I think that I've tasted enough of him to see that he is good and he is right. And so when I start doing the things that he says, and I'm not talking about perfection, but when I start doing those things, I'm becoming more righteous. And if everybody was becoming more righteous, I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't be taking a bus ride before school starts to see where some of our kids are coming from, right here in this area. You see something? Why this is important about us being successful at life, the way God designs it, is because somehow, with all of our churches, with all of the money that can be made in doing church in America, somehow it's not trickling down to the people who are in need. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you read the book of James, what does he say the real religion is? Real religion is religion that cares for those who are in need, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, all of these people who are without. Those who are practicing real religion, they value them because God values them. This morning, you might be somebody, you might be in a position of life, I guess, where maybe, I don't know what you do, but maybe you're trying to rig the system for yourself. You need to just stop it. If that's you, I don't know. If you're trying to rig the system and take advantage of somebody and you're deceiving people to do so, stop it. Those who are washed by the blood of Christ, we don't do that because we value our neighbors. If you're somebody this morning that is struggling to share with people because you think maybe they're lazy or whatever it is, can I tell you something? So what if you're right? Does it matter? Does it matter? Let God deal with those people. You know what my responsibility is? My responsibility isn't to diagnose a situation as necessarily as it is for me to simply respond the way God's told me to. It really does come down to that. If you're somebody this morning who is always talking your neighbors down, and you might be thinking to yourself, look, they don't hear me say that, Pastor. I'm just saying it just in passing, maybe to my spouse. I'm going to tell you something. There is one person that does hear that for sure. You know who it is? It is God. And I've got to tell you, when we talk them down, do you know what happens to our hearts toward them? We want nothing to do with them because we've talked them down enough that we want to have nothing to do with them. Stop it. Stop. It's time to be successful in your life. Love your neighbor. Hold your tongue. You don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through. Just stop. You're somebody this morning that thinks, well, as soon as I believed in Jesus, I got God's favor. You did. But God's favor is going to come when you are actually trying, giving effort to do what God says in your life. It only stands to reason God's blessings flow when we're actually trying to be righteous. Not that we ever attain it, but when we're giving effort to be righteous, then somehow God is able to bless everybody through that. Before the team comes up, I ask you simply this. If people responded to what Solomon has said in chapter 11, if those guys we just talked about renounced their faith in Jesus Christ, but they actually did all of this without Christ, let's just say, for argument's sake, let me ask you, wouldn't it be a lot better in Pickens County for everyone? I think it would. Where should it start? With God's people. Before we close, one of the things I was thinking when we were singing that song is, you may not remember, it's been a while, the Queen of Sheba, do you remember that story? Came to see Solomon, and she was just blown away with everything that Israel had. I'd have to go back and look, but I just wonder if it wasn't just the building she was blown away with. Maybe it was God's glory, the way there was a substantial amount of people who probably tried to do at least some, if not most, of what he told them to do. You know what? If we had a community like what was just talked about in chapter 11 of Proverbs, that would blow somebody away from another community. That would be, people would be thinking, wow, I can't believe a town like this exists. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, I simply would just ask you this morning, if anything spoke to you, just acknowledge it to the Holy Spirit right now, right where you're at, and ask God to help you. Ask for forgiveness. Ask God to help you. He will. Father, we come before you now. We're grateful, Lord. Lord, your word just recenters us, Lord. And Father, your word just reminds us of, you know, success from our perspective is not success, but success from your perspective is success, because that's where we give effort to work with you to become righteous, Lord. And not just so that we could be called holy, but so that people who don't know you would benefit from knowing someone who does know you, Lord. Father, I pray right now, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that struggled with anything I've said this morning, I pray the Holy Spirit would clear it up with them and that they would go home and research it and read it for themselves. Father, I pray that you bring us back again safely Wednesday and Sunday, Lord. For it's in Jesus' powerful name. And God's people said,
amen.